561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
To take a stand.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all ye hosts. And thank you, thank you, thank you once again for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on your Real Love Station, KAYT. 88.1 FM. I'm your host today, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife, Minister Mildred Townsend, who's not with me exactly. Somewhat, she's here in the city of Alexandria, but just not live with me in the station right now. But I tell you what, we thank and praise God for you, you, and you, and you. But we thank and praise God for you. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And as always, amen, we're going to share with you, amen, a scripture coming from the Word of God. And we're going to be coming from the book of Numbers. Numbers, that's right, the book of Numbers, chapter 22, starting at verse 31. And it reads in this like manner, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverted before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he who was, is, and is yet to come, O gracious one, we thank you and give you reverence and obeisance to you, O Lord God. And we bow down to you, for you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the only founder. You are the only pastor. You are the only one, Lord God, that we pledge our allegiance to. Not even to the flag, not even to the United States. Our total allegiance is to you. And we reverence government. We reverence those that are in position. But the total allegiance of our walk and destiny that has been designed by you, we bow down in humble adoration today. Father, asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you look upon those that are destitute, those that are without, Lord, those that are troubled and sick in their bodies. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will have mercy upon them, that wayward child, that wayward soul, oh God, that you will cause them to return to hope. Lord, even in the city of Natchez, Lord God, the young child who took her own life. Lord, we pray for families everywhere that have experienced similar situations. And we even now, oh God, come against the spirit of suicide. We bind you in the name of Jesus and we take authority over you. We come against the spirit of bullying and every such thing now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we count all things done for your glory in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you to each and every one of you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Again, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, amen, shepherd of the One Way Apostolic Deliverance Temple of Natchez, Mississippi, right in Natchez. Just a little country church with the power of Jesus Christ manifesting in it. And I would like to let you know that all roads lead there. And if ever you're around that area, to all of our friends up around Jonesville, all up around Natchez, all up around Fayette, all up around Faraday, all up around Vidalia, we want you to come be our guest. Gina, listen, you are welcome. Alexandria, you are welcome. That's right, Shreveport, Monroe, you are welcome to come be our guest at the One Way Apostolic Deliverance Temple. All denominations are welcome. All seats are always free. We meet there every Sunday at 10 o'clock. And I tell you what, we have a good time in the Lord. I believe in being one of the shepherds that interact with the sheep. It's not do as I say, not as I do type of thing. But amen, we want to open and unlock and unveil the mysteries of God together so that we can get to that place. And those of you that are on milk, we know how to rightfully dispense the milk as well as those that need meat. We know how to give it for what it needs to be given by so that we can fitly come together and be what God has told us to be until we all come to the unity of the faith. But it must be dispensed. As Paul said, God has made me to be a master builder, and a master builder understands what type of bricks to use. They understand what type of nails to use, what type of boards to use. They also even know what type of glass to use. They know that the foundation has to be set in such a way, and Jesus Christ being the foundation of our faith. Now, the only thing that you and I can do now, we can't build another foundation. That's why I said there ain't no other founders. He's the only founder. And the only thing that we do is when we get caught up in tradition, we begin to, amen, label ourselves as founders and pastors because this is what we follow tradition. But Jesus is the founder. That's just like we saying we started salvation all over again. No, we didn't start it. Amen. We're just extensions of the ministry. Yeah, let me get that straight. We're extensions of the ministry. So even if I started another ministry, it ain't really fitting for me to say founder and pastor. Why? Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer, an extension of the ministry. That's just another form of pride that the enemy uses to blind God's people and to cause us to have a sort of preeminence over the people. God did not intend for us to have a preeminence over the people. Remember, the 70 in the book of Luke came back and said, Lord, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And Jesus had to swiftly, in a loving way, reprimand them to remind them that, listen, don't rejoice because you done started another ministry and got it up off the ground. Don't rejoice because right now your three members done turned into 30 or turned into 300. But moreover, rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We must remember, amen, what God, amen, has brought us from and what he brought us to. And the main purpose for which that we are living a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled life as to please God, amen. Yes, that's right, amen. We want to make sure that our names, and if you read in the book, there are things that if we're not careful that we can do to get our names blotted out. That's right, brothers and sisters, blotted out. We can get taken out of this life by living a way that is displeasing to God. Yes, go right to the New Testament in the 5th chapter. You'll look about Ananias and Sapphira, who were part of the church filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? The Holy Ghost swiftly annihilated to get any disease type of spiritual thinking out so that it would not pervert and distort the rest of the church. But as time went on, just like God understood in the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, God knew when he created the world that man was going to be sinful. God understood that man was going to live a life of debauchery, and he had already established a backup plan millions of years before you and I came into this life. And that's the thing that the atheists can't understand. They said, now, if God really exists, it seems dumb in their mind for somebody who knew that man was going to mess up to do that. But see, that's what love would do. Love will let you know that the man treating you wrong, let you know that they ain't no good, and you still try to find a way to help them in their inadequacies. That's what God did. He had love. And he even knew that after the birth of the church, that there would be people that would come in and they would use it. They would take the church. They would make a hustle off of God's people using the ministry. He understood all of these things. But he left us with enough word to understand one thing. Even as the Apostle Paul declared to his followers, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. When my following Christ is not substantial, when it is not lining upon line, precept upon precept, then don't you follow me. And then the Bible even tells us in the book of Matthew that when Jesus began to let his disciples know that many false prophets would rise, saying that Christ has come, he said, don't you believe them. They're going to say that I'm in the secret chambers. Why? Because they will be eloquent speakers. They will be probably theologians, and they will be Bible seminary scholars. But don't you believe them. Not long ago, and you people know this, the national news has even shown us that there are people that are saying that they predicted the actual coming of Jesus. There were pastors in all different type of denominational churches and began to tell the people that the Lord is coming such and such a day, and the year 2000, the world is going to end. And they even put out movies that 2012, according to the Mayan calendar, and all of these false prophets. Jesus told us this, brothers and sisters. He told us to be aware of what's going on. That's why you and I have to be like the five wise virgins. We have to keep our spiritual lamps trimmed with oil. But getting ahead of myself, let me tell you something. I'm thankful to God, and I'm giving shouts out to my brothers and sisters that joined us in the two-day crusade at the One Way Apostolic Deliverance Temple. I tell you, the power of God met us in that place, and to all of our brothers and sisters that came out, my brother from Ruleville, Mississippi, amen, Pastor Jackie Jones and his wife, Juanita Jones, came out, and I tell you, they blessed our soul in the city of Natchez. They came out sharing the word of God. And the miraculous thing about it is, that's why I say confirmation is being made even within the confines of the body of Christ. Even the pastors and teachers and preachers that came out on Thursday, they basically had relatively the same message. And I thank God for that. And Pastor Jones came and he began to tell the church that, you know what, we got to get rid of pride. We've got to get rid of pride. Amen. We've got to, amen, get in a spirit of humility. And I tell you what, we invited Pastor Sheila Waddy and her praise team. I tell you, they are a force to be reckoned with when it comes to praise, adoration, and ushering in the presence of the Lord. And I thank and praise God for her people. Amen. They came down. She brought them down, amen, in a van. And they came down and supported us in this crusade. And they really blessed our soul. We thank and praise God. Amen. Kudos to Pastor Apostle Sheila Waddy and her congregation coming down. I thank and praise God for them. Amen. So those of you under the sound of my voice, I know Pastor Waddy may not be in town because she's a woman of God that's going back and forth, but y'all tell her that Bishop Townsend did throw the high five your way to let you know that I greatly appreciate the love that you came and showed us at this deliverance crusade. And also Apostle Tony Esselfie, and to Pastor Sean Wagner, and to Pastor Maxwell Bennett. You hear them here at the radio station at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Those three brothers came down and ministered deliverance. And I tell you what, the power of God was falling like rain inside. And I mean, deliverance was taking place in there. And I tell people like this, as those brothers said, we prayed for this deliverance. We fasted for this deliverance crusade. And they came and they ministered. And the power of God was shaking that place. Just like the disciples said, the power of God shook the place. And let me tell you, we know that people were set free out of their dungeons. We knew that they were set free out of their habits, out of things. That's why I can't for the life of me understand why people make an excuse to keep on saying, be patient with me, God ain't through with me. All you got to do is walk out of your prison. When Paul and Silas were in jail, they magnified God. They had a deliverance crusade. See, there's deliverance when you praise God. There is a magnitude of release. You're talking about a shift in the atmosphere when the men and women of God come together in holy adoration and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is when a true shift in the atmosphere takes place. And these brothers and sisters, we began to praise God up in that house, saints of God. I'm telling you, amen. To my brothers and sisters, even in Jonesville, came out and supported us in this crusade, came out, and they were blessed as well. Amen. The Caesar family from Jonesville that had been hearing about it came out. They were blessed. But I tell you what, Pastor Esselfie began to call out the spirits that were inside of people. That's right. People, you'd be surprised just because you go to church, there are still spirits of bondage that want to hold you. And he began to address the issues. And Pastor Maxwell Bennett began to speak about the spirit of pride, himself being a pastor, how the spirit of pride had overtaken him. And he didn't even know that that spirit was on him. Yes, as a shepherd, we've got to be careful because there could be spiritual bondages in our life. Ananias and Sapphira, That's right. It was the pride of life and the love of money that caused them to fall out with God, saints of God. When the Paul Peter came up to them and asked them, had they sold the place for so much? They had agreed already in their heart that they were going to sell their material blessings and lay it at the feet. But you know what? You see, pride caused you to hold back from receiving from God. You can't receive your deliverance. You know what? Number one, you don't want to admit where you are. You see, if you lost, I don't care if you're a pastor, an apostle, a bishop, you got to know in your spot, and you know where you're off track at. You just don't want nobody else to know it. But you know what? In order to be delivered, we have to admit where we are. And then, knowing that Jesus has afforded us the opportunity to get there. And when we understand that God has afforded us the opportunity to get there, let me tell you, deliverance is here for you right now. And I tell you, there were young folk in the house that were just claiming their deliverance. And I had to share this with God's people before we left the crusade. And I said, tonight, God has delivered each and every individual. I don't care if you're a smoker, if you're a drinker, if you're a fornicator, if you're a liar, a homosexual, a lesbian. I don't care, a backbiter, whatever your hangups are, they were your hangups after tonight. And the only way that you are not delivered, you must willfully go back into the mess. Listen to this very carefully. Because whom the Son set free is free indeed. You willfully go back to smoking. You willfully go back. Well, Pastor, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That was before Jesus died. See, it's time out for making the excuses now. God has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And if you will hold on to the word of God for what it says, Christ came to set the captive free, brothers and sisters. And I tell people all the time, if we, you know what? The enemy is using this. Well, ain't none of us perfect. That's a lie. That's a lie. If you spent as much effort putting this word in that I am perfected by the word of God. I am perfected in every area of my life. My spirit man is perfected each and every day. But see, when you're making an excuse to hold on to your sinful ways, there will never be no deliverance. But here's the most important thing that you got to understand. Every time, and this is the tearjerker that's going to remind you of something. That's why you'll probably never get delivered from anything. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that when the unclean spirit, and see, when you come in the arena of a crusade of deliverance, the unclean spirit goes out of you. In the presence of God, where there is praise, worship, and adoration, the unclean spirit has to release you. And it does release you. But then what you might call days or weeks ain't but hours to him. And the Bible says that he goes out and says, he goes through dry places looking for rest. And finding none, that spirit says, I'm going to go back to where I came from. And here's the bad part about it. If you stopped smoking after the crusade, if you stopped homemonging, if you quit adulterating, if you stopped masturbating, if you stopped the pornography, if you stopped, amen, the sodomite lifestyle, whatever it was that you stopped after the crusade, if you purposely went back to it, you opened yourself up for seven other more wicked spirits. And then they enter in. And now your struggle is worse than it ever been. You think you've been seeking to justify why you do what you do. You think you've been making excuses that God ain't through with me yet. It's going to be a long time for him to get back to you again, because you have willfully done, as the scripture said, a dog returning to his own vomit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I tell you, amen, when God sends crusade, when God sends, see, a crusade is for everybody. It's for the pastors. It's for the bishops. It's for the apostles. It's for the elders. And one of the things that I tell you what, too, that the Lord shared in that crusade, those of us, amen, that have been bound by the spirit of gluttony and overeating, God brought deliverance. That's right. Amen. You did not have to overeat again a day afterward. You did. As a matter of fact, God even began to plant in the hearts of the people to eat healthier foods, lifestyles that's consistent for longevity of life. Why? Because the word of God is true. It says, he who defiles the temple, God will destroy. That's right, my brother, my sister. You're still smoking and say that you love Jesus, but let me share something with you. You are defiling the temple, and I know you're speaking in that tongue. Yes, you are. Yes, you said, Bishop, you can't judge me, and only God knows, but I know this. God can't stay in your temple if you're still smoking. God can't stay in your temple if you're still drinking. God will not stay in your temple if you're still fornicating. He will not stay in your temple if you're still lesbianism and homosexualizing, lying, embezzling, cheating, stealing, backbiting. No, my brother, sister, he won't stay in you. That's why the apostle began to share with God's people that when Jesus came, he came to set the captive free. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's what deliverance is all about. The Apostle John also began to share it, amen, with the converts, the church, and to begin to let them know. Amen. And I'm going to share this again with you again. Those of you that have your Bibles, your excuses. You know, an excuse ain't nothing but a dressed up lie. That's all an excuse is. An excuse is nothing but a dressed up lie. But I'm here to tell you today that God loves you enough to let you know that freedom from bondage of sin is the righteousness of Christ. And each and every individual that is maintaining that, you know what, we all got sins in our life and we all need to be set free from something. Well, you know what? The blind can't lead the blind. Praise be to God. A man shacking up with a woman, telling her, I love you. And you know what? I don't care what the preachers say. My love for you is greater than what the preacher, but he won't marry you. Somebody lying. Somebody's lying. That man said that he loved you, but you know what? We're common law husbands and wife. Somebody lying to you, because the Bible tells us to obey the ordinances. And the Bible said, let every man have his own wife and let every wife have her own husband. And how in the world can you say you love God, but you're still living with a man that you're not legally married to? You're living with a woman you're not legally married to. Watch this. You're living with a demon that you should not be married to. You're living in an incestuous lifestyle that you should not be married to. You're living to pharmaceutical drug addiction, but you're naming the name of Christ. The Bible said, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That's why I don't call myself a Christian. I call myself a saint of the Most High God. Why? Because the scriptures tell me that even in the book of Jude, he cometh back with tens of thousands of his saints. But here's what I want to share with you, brothers and sisters. Those of you that are still making the excuse that, you know what, we're going to be sinners till the day we leave up out of here, and that ain't nobody free from sin, ain't nobody going to be exempt from sin. Let me tell you, you can live a life free of sin because Jesus became that sin sacrifice for us. Now, if Jesus Christ became something so that we wouldn't have to be, well, it's very strange, you know, and what amazes me, when it comes to money, we'll say I am that I am. But when it comes to sin, well, ain't none of us perfect. But you're going to be perfect in your pocketbook and not in your spiritual bank account. Something is wrong. But those of you that have your Bibles, watch this. And this is what the Word of God says. And I thank God for that apostle that Jesus loved. Though he might have been the most sheepish one that laid his head in the lap of Jesus, he had a powerful move of the Holy Ghost using on him. The book of John, the first John, not the book of John, but first John, going back towards the back of the New Testament. You know, you got first, second, third John, but I'm talking about first John. And the first, third chapter, 1 John 3:7. And I want to share this with you because those of you that are up under ministries that are making an excuse for you to stay in sinful lifestyle, it is not governed by Jesus Christ. No, the true shepherd of God, and though he might be a master builder, will help you to understand, and he will drive this scripture in your subconscious spiritual mind to let you know that anything short of pleasing God will cause us to miss the mark. Yes, the Apostle Paul, when he did say, I have not yet attained. Everybody loved to put Paul in sin. I don't know why y'all want to keep Paul in sin. I have not yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things. Now, Paul ain't talking about a sinful life. Paul is speaking about the life that he lived as a Pharisee and a scribe and the murderous life that he lived, which was so many years behind him. You trying to use that scripture and you just was in sin last night. You were in sin last week. But you got to do your research and find out that when Paul wrote his letters, there were big time frames in between there. You've got to do your search. You biblical scholars got to do your research and understand. But going to the book of 1 John, the third chapter, once again starting at chapter number 7. And I want you to get this. Here's what John said to the church that he wrote a letter to. He said, little children. And that was just affectionately letting them know, because he admonished them as his children. He had shared the word of God with them. It had been formed in them through him. Little children, watch this. Let no, I'm going to paraphrase just for the sake of time too. Let no pastor deceive you. Let no apostle deceive you. Read it, but it says let no man, which is equivalent to the same thing. Let no pastor, evangelist, deacon, elder. Let no spiritual individual deceive you. Watch this. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Number 8, he that committeth sin is of God. What does it say? No, that's not what it says. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's right, preacher. You're still in sin and you are preaching. You're of the devil. You're not of God. Bishop Townsend is up preaching, but he's in sin. I'm not of God. I'm of the devil. For who you yield your members to, you become servants of those things. Do you not know that a man that links his body with a prostitute becomes one with the prostitute? If you link your body in adultery, you become one with the adultery. If you link your body with pornography, you become one with the very thing that you're not supposed to be one with. Do you not know that if you link your body with abominable things that are no good, you become one with those things? Do you not understand that these things are not pleasing in the sight of God? Little children, he that committeth sin is of the devil. I don't care about if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're on the board. You're living a life of sin. Brothers and sisters, you are of the devil. From the beginning, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, watch this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is what the apostle began to share with God's people. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan in our life. Now, how in the world we leave out of the world and then we come back into church and we still sinning? We sinned in the world. And that's why we cried out to Jesus for him to be our Lord and Savior. We cried out to him to deliver us from sin. But how? That's what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin, thinking that grace is going to abound? Here's what Paul said. God forbid. In other words, it ain't finna happen, baby. It don't happen that way. You ain't in sin and in God at the same time. That's the reason why the Bible tells us, even in the book of James, he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Either I'm in Christ or I'm not in Christ. He that sinneth is of the devil. And I know you got for the sake of people because you're paying good money. They'll put up with your sin. But I tell you what, baby, stop putting that money in there. And see, don't they tell you? They don't care how much you're sinning. They don't care. They don't care how many sins you commit. Put that money in there, baby. You can see, because you know what? They ain't concerned about your soul. But quit putting that money in church. Sister Snobgrass, we notice you ain't been giving your tithe lately. Brother Snobgrass, we notice you ain't been paying me. They ain't gonna come to you and say, Brother Snobgrass, we notice that you got a problem with your spiritual life. What do we need to do? Do we need to pray with you and fast with you? No. When it come to getting your money, baby, they will let everything slide. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Watch this. Watch this. For the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Watch this. And get this in verse number 9. Whosoever born of God does not commit sin. That goes to you, preacher. You are preaching God's word and you say that, you know what? Well, God, no, I got some issues in my life. Well, then sit down and stop preaching. Don't mess up God's people, because every time you get ready to transport God's word, there could be a demonical transfer. That same demonic influence that's got you sinning, when you're trying to do somebody else, you're transferring demonic influence on the other person. When you lay hands on somebody and you're caught up in adultery and fornication, you're transferring demonic influence. That's what the crusade is all about, to letting people know that there is a prerequisite. That's what one of the preachers said. God has a prerequisite. Whoever born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Watch this. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Hey, brothers and sisters, listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. I'm going to be around the station.